Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing. Jesus, man, I'm telling you. You know, women, and I shouldn't blame all women. What am I doing blaming all women? Woman, that's what I should say. It's just woman. You know something, man? This whole motherfucking world would be doing a lot better if people just said what the fuck was on their mind without being assholes about it. Just say it, man. What's on your mind? What do you think we got to do? What do we have to work on? Why unhappy? You know, do something, man, with your motherfucking life besides pissing and moaning about it. Well, there we are, okay? So, no. That's stills. Don't go stills. So what's the story here, man? Huh? All right, so anyway, welcome here to the show. And like that. I really like the way the...
Yeah, I like the way the phone is sounding. I really do. You know, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know, I can tell you right now, I don't give a fat. Well, I mean, you know, if you're talking about how people are, if you're talking about how people will be treated in future years, you know, I'm not talking about how people will be treated. They want me to go in for psychiatric evaluation. We won that goddamn game. Okay, we had finally got some run stopping going. I caught Coach Belvedere, got his shit together. I got Kennedy. I got Boston Wilson and Little Joe Pooteran.
What is the guy's name?
Little Joe Pooteran. Don't make a big thing out because people think it's Little Joe Puto and Kulo and all this bullshit. And Kulo, yeah, that's great, man. I laid some serious cabbage on that game. I don't give a damn.
Are you talking about betting high school games? Boy, are you desperate.
Yeah, well, I mean, tell me about it. Yeah, this is Coach Dozier, and
testing 1, 2, 3, 4. So what's going on with Dean? Is he Dean Wheeler? Yeah, I'm back together with Emeralda. Gotta beat Trump first, you know. The candidate with Robert Redford. I never saw this thing. Looks, it looks like a 70s version of the one that was with Tim Robbins. Remember that? What the hell was the name of that goddamn thing? Bob something? Bob Roberts. Total fucking, like, you know, what did he ever predict the, although nobody predicted Trump. Nobody predicted Trump, except maybe the Russians. Tell you one thing about this impeachment thing. People are ready to get on board with it. There's 49% in favor, 46 opposed. They're ready to jump on board the minute they hear anything that really convinces them. And I think this whole Ukraine and you can't influence, you know, use your political power to influence it, that kind of shit, I don't think most Americans understand it. It's impeachable. In fact, it's a violation of federal law. It's actually a violation of the law to ask for or to offer favors in return for a foreign government's help or accepting favors from a foreign government so that they can influence. Now, we already had Trump admitting it, that he would take it, saying, the FBI doesn't know what to tell you. Trump is so motherfucking stupid, that's one thing, but then everybody gives him a pass on that because they think he's such a Bo Brummel. He's just a fucking moron is what he is. He's just a fucking moron. But people, the American people, his base, they're so scared. Once the black man got in and he was all black, and all that, like, Obamacare shit, even though they have their motherfucking Medicare, all those old, croned-up white motherfuckers that vote for Trump, they would fucking have heart attacks and have diarrhea for, like, weeks on end if somebody took their motherfucking Medicare away from them. They don't get the whole Obamacare thing, though. They don't like that socialism shit, but those croned-out motherfuckers that vote for Trump would shit themselves white. I mean, whiter than white, if they got their goddamn Medicare taken from. That's how fucking dumb those cocksuckers are. Now we come to Trump himself, the ultimate fucking moron. Now he's saying he has all the real polls, the other ones are fake. This guy will say anything, and his base will believe in it. They'll believe anything, and they're going to whine. Guess what's going to happen? Because it's happened before. It's a historical fact. They're going to wind up getting fucked so bad They're going to get up one morning and look around and wonder what the fuck happened. They're not going to have anything. He's going to be gone or in jail or, he'll, you know, out of office. And they're going to say, what did he do to us? Now, it may take a few years, but they will. They'll finally wake up to it. But not before they've had a hand in almost destroying their own country. Now, those are the people I blame. I don't blame motherfucker. Trump is just a little piece of shit that got stuck to the shoe. That everybody mistook for some genius, right? I blame the motherfuckers that voted for him. I blame those people. They had it all right there. They could have seen it. I mean, before, how, I'm not smarter than everybody, man. What makes me so fucking smart that I could see this shit? Then one motherfucking thing, this guy, from the unemployment rate, which was going down during Obama, to the job creation rate, which was going up during Obama, to the black unemployment, which was going down during Obama. And as far as the fucking GDP goes, this bitch still hasn't hit fucking 3 in a calendar fucking year. He even knows it. 1.9 is where we're at right now. We're all supposed to believe that's doing just fucking boogie-woogie. Somebody's doing fucking good. Consumer coffee? Yeah, everybody's still got a fucking job. Let's call it that, okay? And, you know, they can motor along. This economy ought to be doing a fuck of a lot better if we had a tax base. If we actually tax these fucking pieces of shit that make billions of fucking dollars and pay $16.50 an hour. Billions of fucking dollars. Millions of dollars a year. $65 million salary, that motherfucking Jamie Dimon. I was looking at his testimony before some congressional subcommittee, and he couldn't answer how he could, how somebody that he pays $16.50 a motherfucking hour could make a living, you know, could actually exist on that kind of money. He couldn't explain it. He couldn't figure it out. The fucking genius. How do you live on $16.50 an hour, motherfucker? You should know. I mean, you make millions. People pay you a lot of money for this information. Do you know? He didn't know. He couldn't answer. And he's so fucking arrogant because he's got a piece of shit just like him in the White House. He doesn't think he has to answer. When Trump is asked about impeachment, he says, where's your impeachment team? He says, I'm the team. If he read more, if he read history, if Donald Trump seriously read history, he would know what road he's going down here, because it's been gone down a million times before by a million other demagogues. I mean, it doesn't fucking change. The script doesn't change. They all wind up getting either run out of office and run out of the fucking country, put in prison, or worse. Every fucking last one of them. What was that movie, All the King's Men? All right, let me see what I got here, man. Where we at, man? Yeah, man, I'm telling you. All right, so now what we got to do is figure out how we... And I, you know, you would think by now I'd have got myself some goddamn... Let me tell you something, man, too. The other thing that's fucking driving me nuts. Fucking women. Women. God, not women. I should say woman. That's what I should say. Woman. Okay, good. Okay, so we're going to do some plugging on the fucking thing. Bill notification. Phil Hendry, what is this? Oh. Do you remember the days when your gas bill was like $12, even less, like $5 a month? Anybody remember those days? Remember that? That wasn't too long ago, man. It was like maybe 30 years ago. When I say, for those of us that are in our 60s, you know, all time sort of compresses after a while, but it'll happen to you. President is immune from congressional subpoenas. Is the Department of Justice ever heard of Watergate when they said, turn over the motherfucking tapes? You ever heard of that? When the Supreme Court of the United States said, turn over the bitch-made fucking tapes? Let me tell you what I think about Kavanaugh. Everybody hates his guts. He's a sexual predator. He may be. But nobody's coming after him on that. He's not going to get busted on that. And he's got a rare opportunity. Kavanaugh can be his own man. For that matter, Gorsuch. But Kavanaugh is a guy who looks to me to be sort of, he's angry. And he's a guy, I think he's the kind of a guy that goes his own way at the end of the day. And I don't think he likes the idea of people thinking that he's Trump's bitch. I don't. I think he can be his own man. I think he can... look at the Constitution more than he looks at Donald Trump during the course of a day and say, and look at precedent. Precedent meaning what the Supreme Courts before them have done, and give a fuck about the country before he does about whether Donald Trump's going to come after him. Donald Trump has a big fat fucking mouth. That's all he's got. Yes, sir. And let me tell you what. Donald Trump has a big, fat fucking mouth. That's all he's got. Okay, this is Jay Sanos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is Impeachment, our Impeachment Roundtable. I've got Dr. Jim Sadler. I've got Jeff Dowder here. I've got Chris Norton. Also Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley. How are you doing, Bobby?
Well, if you could call me... She wants to be called Ms. Dooley. Ms. Dooley.
I'm awfully sorry, Ms. Dooley.
I'm fine.
And how do you... Let's start with you, Bobby, if it's okay with everybody else.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Sure, go ahead. Let's go for it. Okay.
Jesus.
What's your problem?
Well...
Nothing, doctor. It's just...
I think Mr. President Trump is an amazing guy. Excuse me.
Now, here's the thing that I want to do. I want to keep the, is that my phone? What is that, man? From phone. Get out of here. All right, get out of here, you fucking piece of shit. Why is that the downloads are now in MP3 and it used to just say downloads? What's going on there? What has changed there? Okay, I'm just looking at that. All right. German McKay. The German McKay debate. Dick Enberg is the moderator. Nice casting in this movie. I don't know. Nice casting. I have no idea what these motherfuckers are. Pretty fucking weird. Pretty weird if you ask me what they're talking about. But, Marvin Kalb, NBC News. Look at Ken Jones. No, look, it's Alan Garfield. That guy was an acting teacher that I took class from. Alan Garfield. Anybody remember him? Or Alan Gurwitz was his... He went back to his, you know, given name and not his stage name, but he's a hell of a great actor and a great teacher. I love him. And I, you know what? I guess that's the way some actors could make a couple of bucks on the side, have an acting class, you know, rent out a theater and have an acting class. And more power to him. If you were somebody as good as Alan Garfield, why not? And the classes that I took from him were really helpful. He was the first guy that really... taught me about, you know, being moment to moment and going with what you're feeling as opposed to, you know, just thinking about a fucking line, you know, or thinking about how you're supposed to feel or how you're supposed to look. It's how you were feeling at the time. And who gives a shit how that's really making you look? You know, you got to go with the reality. So, you know, that was the first time I know that that's a standard in acting, but I was just a young, stupid 36. No, I wasn't. I was 28, 27. I was 27, 28. 27. Hike. I hadn't considered acting up until that point. I'd never considered being an actor up to that point. What got me into it? I met this girl who was listening to my radio show, who was really hot. And she had this, she said she was taking an acting class. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. And she said, you should come with me. I said, okay. You know. It was really wild. That's an example of being so fuck. I was so nervous around this girl. I mean, I really thought she was fucking hot, and I could not, you know, think of anything. I couldn't think straight, and I wasn't even really all that, you know, cool or sexy around her. I was just Mr. Thurr. But I did go to acting classes with her, and that was cool. That turned me on to that whole thing, you know. But all I wanted to do was be the best radio cat that I could be, and I found out that. Radio didn't value talent. I mean, I'm not saying that just to say it. I swear to God, there's not a whole lot of guys that would disagree with that. But what a lot of guys will say, and I would back them up, they'd say, maybe not the industry as a whole, but there were individual guys you worked for, individual GMs, individual program directors, individual stations. So you couldn't really say that industry-wide, but I'd say the preponderance stations and programmers, the preponderance of them that didn't respect talent was so great that it was a preponderance. It was a majority rule thing that it just didn't give a fuck. They just wanted to sell airtime, you know, and they didn't really give a flying fuck how it was done. They didn't want anything that would piss off an advertiser. I mean, all these things, these sales guys are just, you know, They had less respect for you than the goddamn general manager or program director did. I mean, these sales guys were, I think I told the story of my first fucking few months on the air in my life at any station. I was 19, I was 20 years old. And this guy calls me up, the salesman calls me up and starts ripping into me about what I'm doing on the motherfucking air. And the next day I told my program director, a guy named Jerry Peterson, the late Jerry Peterson, who said to me, the famous, "You tell them to fuck off, Ace. Next time a sales guy comes in and tells you to say anything, tell him to fuck off." So that was my first education in exactly what the relations were between programming and sales. They weren't too boogie-woogie, and they never got any better, no matter where I fucking went. Some guys might have had a different experience. I don't know if this is true or not, but David Hall, my program director in Los Angeles at KFI, is alleged to have said, I can't remember who told me this. It might have been Jonah Weiland, who was my first producer. Jonah said to me, I was talking to David the other day. I said, yeah. He said, I asked him, because he knows you better than me, man, because I worked with David 10 years before when I was just doing a weekend show there. And I asked him, I said, what makes Phil so fucking, acerbic? What makes him so cynical? What makes him so argumentative? What makes him so combative with radio management and radio, that end of things? And David said, if you've had your ass kicked as much as Phil has in this business, you'd be the same way. That's what Jonah told me he said. Maybe I should get David on the air. I ought to interview David. Should I get him on the air and interview him? Get him on the podcast and interview him? Should I interview all the program directors that I ever worked for? That would be really, like, depressing. I don't know. Interviewing David would be great. Rich Galano would be great. I would interview Steve Nichol from Miami. Everybody, you know, jumped him. I did too. We all made fun of Steve, but he's a good man. I think ultimately, I mean, I don't know, you know. Maybe the cats that I would, I don't know at that point what Steve wanted to do, you know. What did he want to do? Be sure to jump into a Viper's Den there, man. What am I talking about here? Just nothing. Just ignore me. Let me turn this down before it drives me out of my fucking mind. No middle class tax height for Medicare. Muscatine, Iowa. Do you think we're entering a period where these fucking, I don't know, do they matter at all?
Look, are you going to get off this Trump? When are you getting off this whole Coach Dozier thing?
Getting off the Coach Dozier thing?
Yeah, you've been talking to this guy. You know, I don't mean it.
Well, I got Coach Dozier on the other line.
Well, I don't want to talk to the guy.
Well, he was scheduled for now, David, okay?
I can hear everything you're saying, though. Okay, I can hear it. I did not want to talk to you, Coach, because I said to Phil, this is a matter between him and me.
Testing. 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 Where the fuck? Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Test, test, test. Testing. Testing. Test. 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 Testing. Well, yeah, that's cool. I don't even need more to that. That's Murray. That's Murray Green, man. What's Maury Green? Oh, no, who is that guy? Maury. There was a guy on LA TV. He's in the show. Maury Green? Remember him? Anybody who used to watch the old Channel 2? KNXT. Before it was KCBS, it was KNXT in L.A. Channel 2 was KNXT, and they got KCBS because it was available for television. KCBS Radio is in San Francisco, but what did I just hear? I heard something. Let me see here. Maury Green. He was on The Big News. Here it is, Maury Green. Nope. Yeah, veteran LA TV newscaster, Maury Green. He died in 96. Veteran journalist and author who helped pioneer the modern format for local television has died. Green, who also played himself as a TV newsman in such motion pictures as The Candidate, died Sunday in Los Angeles, his son Lee Green said. 1996. God, I was just back to town. He was 80. 70, 60, 50. So he would have been well into his... Wait a minute, he was 80. He would have been, yeah, 60-something in this movie. A quarter century ago, Green was part of the big news team on KNXT, now KCBS, that established the now familiar informal comments between local news hosts and reporters in the field, meaning happy talk. The news program was won nationwide notice for its high-quality and viewer-friendly format. Green also served as a writer, producer, and anchor of the West Coast edition of the CBS Morning News, another early segment to update East Coast news programs for viewers in the Pacific time zone. Although the long-retired newscaster participated in more than 10,000 television news programs, altogether, he participated in 10,000, 2,000 panel and interview shows. Wow. He also wrote two books, Television News, Anatomy and Process, and the novel The Delphi Calculus, and co-authored two other books, Sawed Off Justice and Evel Knievel on Tour. Among Green's awards were local Emmy for docudrama writing, three Golden Mics, a Certificate of Distinction in Broadcast Journalism. He served as president of the Greater L.A. Press Club, was on the board of the Pacific Pioneer Broadcasters, Bing, Bing, Boom, Boom. Green grew up in Illinois and was a championship fencer at the University of Illinois. How about that? After serving in the Navy, he began his long journalism career. So many of these guys, you know, came out of World War II. They were either like radio guys in World War II, or they were working Armed Forces Radio or something. I don't know if that was the case for him, but wow. Maury Green. I knew I recognized that guy. 80 years old. I don't know, dude. Time just runs, man. It runs. Now, let me see if they have a picture of good old Maury. There's another Maury Green who's on Twitter. That's not the Maury Green I'm thinking of. Where is Maury? Oh, come on, man. If I put Maury Green Channel 2. Yeah, here we go. Oops. No, man, that's Maury Povich, bitch. Fuck. Maury Povich ain't going to get a picture here of good old Maury Green, man. So Channel 2 had the big news back around 1960, 61, 62, well on into my, you know, elementary school and high school years. It was called The Big News, and it was the first hour-long news in L.A., local news. And they had Jerry Dunphy, they had Maury Green, they had Ralph Story, they had Gil Stratton on sports. Gil Stratton was an actor, I told you guys, and, you know, he was in Stalag 17 and The Wild One, and became a sports guy. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Just like my man there, Dick Lane, who was Richard Lane. It was in all the Boston Blackie movie serials, and then suddenly reinvents himself as a sportscaster and announcer on Channel 5 here in L.A., Dick Lane here with the wrestling from Olympic Auditorium. And he was great. He was fucking great. And Gil Stratton was great. I mean, Gil, it was almost like, I thought they were better, to be honest with you, I thought they were better sportscasters than they were actors. Although Dick Lane wasn't a bad actor. Gil Stratton played kind of a goofy little guy character all the time. Every fucking movie he was in, you know. All right, I am dragging ass here, man. I'm talking to you. How dare I talk to you? I don't want to talk to you. Testing 1, 2. How could we have single mom discounts? How could we have discounts for like single mother, you know, mother with? I'm just talking. I'm kind of partially serious because I've been talking to a listener who is a single mother and wanted to. Do we have discounts? I said not really, but I wonder if we ought to run with this. How do you prove that someone's a single mom though? You know. The fuck? All right, what are we doing here, man? Come on, let's go. Load, bitch, load. You know? Load, bitch, load.
It's Jay Santos, and this is, you know.
Right, so it's Jay.
Test. Testing, testing, test. Test, test. What am I doing here, man? I'm doing, okay, Oh, man. And we have him right now. Sir, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Hey, let me tell you what. This guy. Guy Wheeler.
Wait a minute, is this shtick you're doing?
Wait, I'm not. I don't do shtick when it comes to my own daughter. This guy Wheeler, I was afraid of him when he was, you know, marrying my daughter.
Oh, you're afraid of me, huh?
Hey, Wheeler, just keep it quiet. Bitch be gone, Marino. That's my name, okay? Because when I get in a ring with some bitch, excuse me for saying I don't get ladies. It's bitch be gone, okay? I lift him up. I throw him into the third row. That's what I do. That's my claim to fame.
Bitch be gone. All right, man. Okay. All right. Here we go. So I got Vernon. No. Yeah, Vernon Dozier is where? In the gym? And Dean, David Hall is... So you learn how to do this. All right, testy 1, 2, 3, 4. Testy 1, 2, 3, 4. Funky, man. That is really funky, Jack. All right. Testy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, man. Here we go. Ready? Okay, see, you know what to do is I'm going to set a fucking clock so I know what I'm doing. Yeah. So I know what I'm doing here. Mr. Fryer, sir, come back here.